Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We're up to Book 13, Chapter 15. In the early days of October, another envoy came to Kutuzov with a letter from Napoleon proposing peace, and falsely dated from Moscow, though Napoleon was already not far from Kutuzov on the old Kaluga Road. Kutuzov replied to this letter, as he had done to the one formerly brought by Lauriston, saying that there could be no question of peace. Soon after that, a report was received from Dolokhov's guerrilla detachment operating to the left of Tarutino that troops of Brusier's division had been sent at Forminsk, and that, being separated from the rest of the French army, they might easily be destroyed. The soldiers and officers again demanded action. Generals on the staff, excited by the memory of the easy victory at Tarutino, urged Kutuzov to carry out Dorokhov's suggestion. Kutuzov did not consider any offensive necessary. The result was a compromise, which was inevitable. A small detachment was sent to Forminsk to attack Brusia. By a strange coincidence, this task, which turned out to be a most difficult and important one, was entrusted to Dokhturov, that same modest little Dokhturov whom no one has described to us as drawing up plans of battles, dashing about in front of regiments, showering crosses on batteries, and so on, and who was thought to be and was spoken of as undecided and undiscerning, but whom we find commanding wherever the position was most difficult all through the Russo-French Wars, from Austerlitz to the year 1813. At Austerlitz he remained last at the Augsburg Dam, rallying the regiments, saving what was possible when all were flying and perishing and not a single general was left in the rear guard. Ill with fever, he went to Smolensk with 20,000 men to defend the town against Napoleon's whole army. In Smolensk, at the Malakhov Gate, he had hardly dozed off in a paroxysm of fever before he was awakened by the bombardment of the town, and Smolensk held out all day long. At the Battle of Borodino, when Bagration was killed and 9/10 of the men of our left flank had fallen, and the full force of the French artillery fire was directed against it, the man sent there was this same irresolute and undiscerning Dokhturov. Kutuzov, hastening to rectify a mistake he had made by sending someone else there first, and the quiet little Dokhturov rode thither, and Borodino became the greatest glory of the Russian army. Many heroes have been described to us in verse and prose, but of Dokhturov scarcely a word has been said. It was Dokhturov again whom they sent to Forminsk, and from there to Maloyaroslavets, and the place where the last battle with the French was fought, and where the obvious disintegration of the French army began, and we are told of many geniuses and heroes of that period of the campaign, but of Dokhturov nothing, or very little, is said, and that dubiously. And this silence about Dokhturov is the clearest testimony to his merit. It is natural for a man who does not understand the workings of a machine to imagine that a shaving that has fallen into it by chance and is interfering with its action and tossing about in it is its most important part. The man who does not understand the construction of the machine cannot conceive that the small connecting cogwheel which revolves quietly is one of the most essential parts of the machine, and not the shaving which merely harms and hinders the working. On the 10th of October, when Dokhturov had gone halfway to Forminsk and stopped at the village of Arestovo, preparing faithfully to execute the orders he had received, the whole French army, having in its convulsive movement reached Murat's position, apparently in order to give battle, suddenly, without any reason, turned off to the left onto the new Kaluga Road and began to enter Forminsk, where only Brusier had been till then. At that time Dokhturov had under his command, besides Dokhturov's detachment, the two small guerrilla detachments of Figner and Seslaven. On the evening of October the 11th, Seslaven came to the Aristovo headquarters with a French guardsman he had captured. The prisoner said that the troops that had entered for Minsk that day were the vanguard of the whole army, that Napoleon was there and the whole army had left Moscow 4 days previously. That same evening, a house serf, who had come from Borovsk, said he had seen an immense army entering the town. Some Cossacks of Dokhturov's detachment reported having sighted the French guards marching along the road to Borovsk. From all these reports, it was evident that where they had expected to meet a single division, there was now the whole French army marching from Moscow in an unexpected direction, along the Kaluga Road. Dokhturov was unwilling to undertake any action, as it was not clear to him now what he ought to do. He had been ordered to attack for Minsk, but only Brossier had been there at that time, and now the whole French army was there. Ermolov wished to act on his own judgment, but Dokhturov insisted that he must have Kutuzov's instructions, so it was decided to send a dispatch to the staff. For this purpose, a capable officer, Bokhotinov, was chosen, who was to explain the whole affair by word of mouth besides delivering a written report. Towards midnight, Bokhotinov, having received the dispatch and verbal instructions, galloped off to the general staff, accompanied by a Cossack with spare horses. Alright, there we go. Another chapter down. We've just met a man called Dokhturov, who is a inconspicuous cog wheel in the war effort, in Russia's war effort specifically, and flies under the radar but is instrumental in what happens. I think that was really the crux of this chapter. That was really the whole message, was about this man playing his role, and how important that role was. Right? Am I missing anything there? I'm not going to go super deep on this chapter, but I think that was the gist of it. Who Was Once Delight said, "This chapter digresses a bit to discuss an under-celebrated, according to Tolstoy, Russian officer called Dokhturov. Tolstoy says that the silence about Dokhturov is the most obvious proof of his merit. What, if anything, did you get out of this character sketch? Do you appreciate these digressions, or would you prefer to get to what happens next?" Well, I was certainly... I appreciate that this digression was relatively short. Let me put it that way. I do like the digressions. I like these zoom-out moments and these exposition moments where we move away from our characters. But I just dislike them when they're too long. We went through 10 chapters in a row of it earlier, only a few chapters ago, and it was too much for me. It was too much. I lost interest, actually, in quite a lot of those chapters. There were moments where I was really wanting to just get through it. This was okay, this chapter. I don't have a super clear picture about what this guy did, Dokhturov. And that thing about saying that the fact that you didn't hear much about him was what made it obvious that he'd done a lot, because I think you could say the same about all, or many of the foot soldiers, right? But maybe that's his point. I also noticed in this chapter, to digress a little bit, that the writing style was again quite weird. I think there was even some bits that were like in the second person, like the narrator telling you as the reader, or something like that. There was something that struck me as really weird. I'd have to flick back through. In fact, I will flick back through, see if I can find out what I'm talking about. Yeah, there was a few moments where the narrator referred to us as we, but almost as if the reader was included in that. I don't know if I just read that wrong or not, but the narrative style in a few pieces of this chapter were strange. I also think they spoke about 2013. Sorry, they spoke about 1813, about 200 years off there, and what he did in 1813. But are we up to 1813 yet in the narrative? I don't think we're that far advanced, are we? Or maybe we are. Well, yeah, we might be actually, because we had the Comet of 1812, and that was a while ago. Anyway. Other than that, yeah, this chapter, I don't have a whole lot to say about it. Who's Wants to Light also said, how satisfying was it to read about Kutuzov's dismissive reply to Napoleon's offer of peace? My answer, very satisfying. Yeah, I also thought that was pretty badass of him. He is clued on to what's going on, and he knows they've got the upper hand, and that's cool. Like, in Kutuzov, we trust sort of thing. Like, you know he's going to make the right moves. So, yeah, I'm sort of team Kutuzov. I really like that guy. Alright, that's going to do us. I apologize that I don't have a tremendous amount to say about this chapter. But, yeah, I hope that helps a little bit to wrap our heads around it. And I hope that in the next chapter we return to our characters. If that's not too bold of me to say. Okay, thank you very much for listening today. I'll see you tomorrow.